Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November, goodness, I think it's the 18th. I didn't even look today. Yep, November 18th, 2019. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. And click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can find our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our gospel reading, where we left off last week. We left off the end of Mark chapter 6, so we're going to be going into chapter 7. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft keep not holding the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold us as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied for you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Okay, tonight's topic we're going to be taking a look at is the Declaration of Independence. It's a very small document, and there's not too much to it, but there is quite a bit of information concerning our unalienable rights. And if anybody wants to follow along, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight education, and come down and click on Weekly Topics. And on that page, it's right on the top, you'll see the Declaration of Independence. It's got today's date on it. Okay, so we're going to start reading that, and then we'll pick up after that. America's narrative is anything but the laws of nature's God. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever. John Adams. Thomas Jefferson said, If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Educate and inform the whole mass of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. The Declaration of Independence in Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Introduction. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. The introduction to the Declaration of Independence declared the peoples of the 13th American colonies intent of three things. One, dissolving their political bands with Britain for cause. Two, to assume separate and equal stations with other nations. And three, the people are entitled to live under the laws of nature and of nature's God. John Adams said, Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Thomas Jefferson said, The doctrine of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. George Washington added, You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. And finally, in James chapter 1, verse 25, God said, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Many people do not understand that the Declaration of the 13th United States of America is a law document. It is the foundation of all American law, including equity. It is founded upon natural law, also known as common law, which is the only one true law. All other law except equity under our Constitution is derived from Babylon, also known as Justinian law, Roman law, municipality law, and the law of the city, and is written to control and enslave. Common law traces its beginnings to 1400 BC, when God gave his written word to Israel. The advent of the written word of God among the Anglo-Saxons in England brought a desire to read and then to write. Reading was necessary in order to discern the mind of God through his written scriptures. God's word encouraged writing that men may copy and translate the scriptures. Writing also enabled the production of the Lex Salica, the earliest known record of Anglo-Saxon folklore, issued on the European continent under King Clovis, following his conversion to Christ in A.D. 496. The earliest written compilation of the Anglo-Saxon Volkrite, or called folklore, in England was issued by Elbert, the Christian king of Kent, about A.D. 865. This was the beginning of common law in England, and in 1215 the Magna Carta was the first known common law document upon which the Declaration was written. The Declaration of Independence is a short document written in plain language that needs little to no interpretation and is composed of 8 parts. Number 1, introduction. 2, the preamble. 3, the right to alter government. 4, the right to abolish government. 5, list of abuses and usurpations. 6, repeated injuries for our petition for redress. 7, appeal to the Supreme Judge of the World. And 8, signed by 56 witnesses. Like Noah and Moses, we the people covenanted with God, thereby acknowledging God as king, who would rule through our courts. And if obedient, he would bless his people with liberty. Therefore, no man can undo it. The Preamble. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The preamble to the Declaration of Independence declares 5 truths, or maxims, under God's perfect law of liberty. 1. Truth is self-evident. 2. All men are created equal. 3. We are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. 4. Governments are instituted to secure these rights. And 5. Government derives their just powers from the consent of the governed. Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 8, we read, "This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them." The United States is a republic, and is to guarantee every state of this union to be a republic. Article 5, Section 4 of the Constitution, "The United States shall guarantee to every state of this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion, and on application of the legislature or of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence." Since the states lost their equal suffrage, which means equal vote, in the Senate via the 17th Amendment, they are no longer sovereign. because the state, like the House of Representatives, now performs the will of the special interest groups and not the state. Therefore, states are no longer sovereign and therefore are no longer a republican form of government. Article 5 of the Constitution states, "No state without its consent shall be deprived of equal suffrage in the Senate." A republic is a rule by law and not the whim of men. The law of a republic is a constitution written by either a small assembly of men that will eventually enslave its subjects, or written by godly men under God's law, which liberates his children. There are only three times in recorded history where a nation was established under the laws of God. The first was Nation of Israel, Exodus 4:22. "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." In about 1400 B.C., which self-destructed after 400 years when the people sought after a fleshly king. The second was in the middle of the first millennium in England, which was destined to fail because, like Israel, men trusted their liberty in a fleshly king and not God. The third was ordained by the children of God in 1789, which was founded upon the 1776 covenant, whereas the Son said, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. I will put my laws into their minds and write them into their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. And it was in this fashion in 1789 that George Washington refused the crown with a bent knee to the sun, and the United States became the city upon the hill reflecting the light of the gospel to a lost world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The preservation of the right to alter. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having an indirect object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. Now, the preservation of the right to abolish or alter declares four rights when government becomes destructive. Number one, the right to abolish or to alter government. Number two, the right to institute new government. Number three, under absolute despotism, it is the people's right and duty to throw off such government. And number four, the right to of new gods for future security. And it was in the last quarter of the 18th century that we the people, via committees of safety, no different than the freemen via the sureties of the peace, secured their liberty in 1215 A.D., Magna Carta, dissolved the political bands with Britain and assumed among the powers of the earth separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled us, thus establishing the United States of America, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. It is today, in the first quarter of the 21st century, that we the people, via the sureties of peace, also known as the grand jury, by the mercy and the grace of our Lord, that we stand again against the deep state to exercise our unalienable right to reinstate what has been removed and install new guard within our government that have become destructive to our government via changing the guards through recall, indictments, and military tribunals. A long train of abuses and usurpations against the king. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operations till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodations of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with mainly firmness of his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for the naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to the law for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their office and the amount of payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in time of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independence of the superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution and acknowledged by our laws, giving the assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops amongst us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders,
we lost you, John. I don't hear anything.
Yes, he's gone. I can't hear him either.
Rats.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I'm coming in okay?
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can find out where I left off here. Okay, I think I was coming to the end maybe of the list of abuses?
Usurpations, yes. I think that's where you were.
Okay, let's see. I'll pick up here. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For suspending our own legislation and declaring themselves invested with powers to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the work of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas, to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrection amongst us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontier, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Britain was once the guardian of the natural law, but built into their system of government was a serious flaw, namely a fleshly king that was to secure liberty for a free people. But instead, he ended up enslaving them. This was the very same thing that cursed the people of Israel, as we read in God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 through 22. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voices. Howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them unto his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give it unto his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your godliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." that we also may be like unto other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. By the mercies of by God's mercy, George Washington refused the crown, and thereby we became a nation of law, where God would rule as judge through our courts. Thereby, legislative and administrative undertakings will be as just as our courts. But as long as we, the people, allow these judges that have unlawfully seized control of our courts to deny us access and continue in their denial of God's rule, we will continue under their tyranny. We, the people, need to come to the knowledge of the truth and trust that God will honor his promise, and only then will we become a just nation again. Today, we have come full circle. We too have a long train of abuses that our servant government has usurped. The following is a short list of violations by our servant governments today. They have refused obedience to the Constitution. They abrogated the state's sovereignty via the 17th Amendment. They abrogated the people's sovereignty via the 16th Amendment. They have replaced our unalienable rights gifted by our Creator with privileges via the 14th Amendment, a direct assault upon the people's covenant with God by repugnantly claiming the free and independent people are now subject to the laws of the United States and the states, when in fact the United States and the states are subject to the people. They have created debtors' prisons controlled by foreign bankers for their unlawful tax schemes. They have abrogated natural law. They have reinstated Roman law, also known as Babylonian law, under the name civil law, via Rule 2. They have abrogated the people's right to representation via lobbying. They have surrendered control of our currency to foreign bankers. They have turned over our federal courts to foreign bankers under the pretense of a fictional Article 1 court. They have turned our currency to debt, thereby destroying our economy. They have exposed us to dangers of invasions via unprotected borders and exhausting our militia in foreign wars. They have seized control of counting our votes and do so in secret. They have permitted voting by illegal aliens. They have turned over control of our courts and the writings of our laws to a foreign entity via the American Bar Association. They have made judges independent upon status quo rulings. They have erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out their substance. They have empowered the deep state to keep us in a perpetual wars. They have concealed and seized control of the people's right of government by consent. They have combined with others to subject us to jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution. They have given assent to acts of pretended legislations. They assaulted innocent people with trumped-up charges and SWAT teams. They imposed taxes on us without our consent. They have deprived us, in many cases, of the benefit of trial by jury. They transport us to jurisdictions unknown to be tried for pretended offenses. They subject the people to federal laws without authority, claiming absolute rule over these states. They have abrogated a common law, also known as natural law. They have fundamentally altered the forms of our government. They have declared themselves invested with powers to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. They have relinquished state government powers while waging war against the patriotic people. Repeated injury for our petitions of redress. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlements here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and to consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. So to comment on future injury, as our founding fathers so oft suffered before us, we the people wrote, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedoms of the right of the people to peacefully assembly and to petition the government for redress of grievances. But we forgot, and our servants took advantage of our ignorance, and so we find ourselves here once again. We, too, have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. We have invited them to forums to discuss the issues, and they declined. We have called forth the Third Continental Congress, and they delivered them up and delivered upon them our demands as a free people, and they ignored us. We have summoned the sureties of peace and delivered upon them quo warranto and numerous writs and mandamuses. And our repeated petitions also have been unanswered, only by repeated injury. We were met with accusations of being terrorists and sovereign citizens, which is a code for cop killers, thereby placing our lives in jeopardy. And they have sent out upon us swarms of agents from the Treasury Department, the FBI, and they have weaponized the IRS upon us and our families. The appeal to our Supreme Judge of the World. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the World for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of a right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Appealing to the Supreme Judge, ultimately, this is God's battle. It is his court that they robbed. It is his people that they have abused. And we need only come to the knowledge of truth, take a stand and wait on him to lead us in judgment and in righteousness. He shall set the stage as he promised. Number one, we the people assembled appeal to the Supreme Judge of the World. And number two, we have a right to be a free and independent states. Now, this was signed by 56 signatures. I'm not going to read through them, but all 13 colonies or states is listed here. And recapping our unalienable rights as established in this declaration. Number one, the unalienable right to dissolve political bans for cause. Number two, the unalienable right to separate and equal stations with other nations. Number three, the unalienable right to be under the laws of nature's God. Number four, truth is self-evident. Number five, all men are created equal. Number six, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Number seven, Governments are instituted to secure unalienable rights. 8. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. 9. Unalienable rights to alter or to abolish government. 10. Unalienable right to institute new government. 11. Under absolute despotism, unalienable right to throw off such government. 12. Unalienable right to install new gods for the future security. 13. God's people may appeal to the supreme judge of the world. 14. Unalienable right to be free and independent states. To solve these problems seem overwhelming, and it is. But God sent us a type of Osiris in President Donald Trump, see the book of Ezra, to dismantle the deep state and bring the new world order under judgment, see Isaiah chapter 14. This will provide an opportunity for we the people to reclaim our government and bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. And this starts with an education of our heritage and an acknowledgement of our Creator and His laws. And then and only then will we be answered. Like our founding fathers, we too can be empowered through the knowledge and the exercising of our God-given liberties within His will. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 29. Come unto me, all ye that are labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Okay, that's the end of the paper, and I guess, hang on a second, let me see where we're at here. Jan, do we have any announcements?
This week we have no questions and no announcements. How about that?
No, I thought I saw some questions this week. You didn't see any questions?
No, I think we finished them all up last week.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we got them all.
That was a more of an information and so on. Terry took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're all done.
Okay. All right. Well, what we just read tonight, that's what we, the people, have done here in National Liberty Alliance through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, where we have filed, it was last month, I'm not sure exactly what date it was, but we filed the paper to declare a return to our government and, back to the way our Constitution has laid it out to be. And we have filed numerous papers since then, and just over the weekend, I believe it was Saturday, we got it out into the mail, we filed a paper to move our New York gun case, it was against the Gun Act last year that we filed, and they threw it out of court under Rule 12. We appealed up to for a reconsideration to a panel of judges, reminding them that we are in a court of record that is to be decided by the people, and that we're not under the rules of equity, or in this case, civil law, because equity is no more. They've abolished that too through Rule 2, as we look into the wordings there. So we have sent them many papers, and we're going through a process. But like I said, we just pulled this New York case in, and we filed that this past weekend. We are moving now to a couple of cases, and only very specific cases. There's a couple of problems here, particularly in New York, where they're coming out forcing. They want to force people into inoculations, and I understand that has passed. I know Gerard's going to be doing some research. I believe he has already been doing some research on that to get the information together. We're going to write a paper concerning that particular situation. The claim out there, and I don't know how solid this is, I don't have all the details, but the claim out there is that literally they will be coming house to house at some point for people who do not respond and to stick a needle in you. I mean, that sounds crazy, and who would think that they would do that, but this is what I'm hearing, and again, I don't know that this is absolutely true, but this is what my concerns are, and we decided to write a paper on this and research this. Nevertheless, to force this upon our children to go to school, that they take these injections, and we have no clue what's inside them. We've heard many rumors of different things, but again, they're trying to force that upon us. So that's another case we're going to take into the courts. We have come to that point. We're no longer asking them anything. We've been talking to them for almost 20 years now, since 2000. In fact, I think it was in 2000 or 2001 when we started to really file papers call forth the Continental Congress, and also went to the United States Supreme Court asking if we still have a constitution, and their answer was silence, nothing. And again, we filed many papers, the Quo Warranto, as we read in this paper here tonight, lots of papers. And we've also started to indict these judges, and we've been filing and serving them, not only filing them within the courts up in Albany, federal district, the Northern District of New York, but we also have been filing it with Attorney General Barr, and before that we were filing our papers with Sessions, Jeff Sessions, and we've been doing so since the beginning, since they've come into power. And of course, we've been sending a copy to Donald Trump. Our court case that we have been really, it's up against the United States Supreme Court and both houses of Congress. And again, for 20 years, we've been, or 19 years, we've been making papers and serving notices, and they just totally ignore us. So the court is over. It's obvious that they have acquiesced to us. And now we've come to the point where we are making decisions in a court of law. People need to understand that the courts of law are run by the people, not by the government, not by a judge, not by a magistrate. A magistrate is only there for the sole purpose to administrate the justice as decided by the tribunal, which is the 12 jurors. They're supposed to be free and independent individuals, free and independent jurors, and they are to understand their authority and their ability to deny any law that they may think is not proper or doesn't apply in a particular case. They can just ignore it and cast it out. It's called jury nullification. The jury also has the power and the authority not only to decide the law and to decide the facts of the case, but they also have the power and the authority to decide the consequences. What is necessary to restore the injured parties? So courts of law belong to the people. And it starts off, the beginning of a court of law either starts off where an individual, any individual wants to file a case against someone or against a government agency or so on. And in the case of a grand jury, filing criminal cases. And the grand jury, again, is the people. The grand jury, the people decide whether there is a case or not. The people decide whether they are going to indict or not. I find it insulting when these lawyers and different people in government tell us things like that the prosecutors can indict a ham sandwich. That's an insult. That's an abuse upon our Constitution, upon we the people. But we the people need to understand this and step up and take power and authority. We are free and independent people, and we need to take control of our future, not only for ourselves, but for our posterity. that's where we're at, and we will be filing a lot more papers. We're doing joinders. Anybody, and if you haven't been out to our page yet on all the papers that we have filed over the past few years, go up to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight grand jury, and click on Action Against the Judiciary. And it talks about this extraordinary action against the United States Supreme Court, the federal judiciary, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. And it lays out clearly what our intentions are, and also lays out their guilt. You know, the paper that we filed, which was a decision and order and a declaration to restore the law of the land, that was filed on August 17th, 2019. And since then, we have filed a series of papers. I think there are six papers I'm looking at. A decision and order concerning the merger of equity and law. We also filed a paper concerning Judge Kahn's second indictment, where he tried to close our case down again and threatened to throw out our papers if we didn't come pick them up. But we continue to file. And that was way back in the beginning of September when he made these statements. And today we're in November, and we're still filing papers, and they still are taking them. And we've laid out the law to the clerks up there in the Northern District that if they want to participate with this judge and throw our papers out, then they're going to be met with an indictment as well as he has been. We wrote a paper also on their fake laws and fake courts. We've written many writ mandamuses and a mandamus information on the Republic. Like I said, over the weekend on the 16th of November, the 16th of November, that's a catchy phrase. What's that movie? Anyway, Amendment 2 moved for cause, that case that we filed against the New York legislators and the governor here. But anyway, on this page, you'll see many memorandums, joinders, habeas corpuses, cases that we have moved for cause, we also have lists of indictments on chief judges on the federal level, and judges also on a lower level, in the state level, and in particular in the towns and villages, and many, many other things. So anyway, people should get out here. These papers are an education. They were written not only to make our point, but to educate the enemy. Maybe they'll see the error of their way, some of them, and realize that they're on the wrong side and turn from their ways. But these papers, very specifically, you know, we put a lot of footnotes in it so that we can express, you know, the meanings of certain words, certain phrases, and also, you know, to give the sources from where we get our information. We have sources for every statement we've made over the past years on all these papers. So people, by just reading through these papers, it's an education. And again, you know, the paper we read tonight, which was under education, and you come down to the weekly topics, and on that page, which I'm trying to get to right now. Okay, there it is. I got 5 papers filed up there. And these are the papers we've been reading over the weeks. We've got a bunch of other papers that we've already read. There must be another 15 or so, maybe more, that we've read over the past weeks. We're going to post them up here too. And again, these papers are an education. They focus in on a specific problem or situation or on our Constitution, or on the Declaration of Independence. You know, we wrote papers concerning the rules of the common law courts. You know, a lot of people have asked questions, well, where are the rules of the court? Well, you know, what are the rules of the common law court? Well, we wrote a paper on that. We also wrote our paper, our plan to save the Republic. We wrote a paper concerning democracy versus republic. We wrote a paper on government by consent. And many, many other papers that have not yet been filed up here, but we will be getting them up there over the weeks and kind of going back and putting up what we've already read and looked at, getting those papers up here. And we will continue to post our future papers also on this particular page, weekly topics. And again, this enhances the education that we put together on the two courses that we have available. One is a free civics course. The other one is a constitution. Well, the constitution course we've shut down. People that are in it, they're finishing up on it. But we opened up the government by consent course, which is a very in-depth study on law and American history, and how we got where we're at, the problems we're facing, and how we plan to solve these problems, and also an in-depth look and study of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution with its capstone Bill of Rights, and many, many papers and informations that, again, will enlighten the people. And as Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. We are precisely here where we are at because we, the people, are ignorant to our heritage. We're ignorant to common law. We're ignorant to the understanding of the government that we have framed. We're ignorant to understanding how the court system works. And even the legislative body, but what powers and authorities we've given them. And unless we educate ourselves and come to an understanding of these things, we cannot exercise our authority and our powers and our right to have government by consent. It's impossible to have government by consent if we don't understand our government. It's impossible for us to choose our leaders if we ourselves don't know our Constitution, when they lift up their hands and they swear to obey and defend and support the Constitution. And then they themselves don't know it. It's a lie to begin with. The moment they lifted their hands up, they lied. And we've lied to ourselves, allowing these people to take power and authority and allowing these people that have no knowledge of the Constitution to be our government, to be our leaders, our representatives. We, the people, have the power and the authority to remove every single one of them from two different vantage points. One is the committeemen, and the other one is through the administrations of the grand jury and the trial jury. We could do it through the courts, or we could do it through the process. And you know, committeemen, people running for committeemen this coming year, some early on in the year, and a lot, maybe 3-4 months into the year. And so anybody who wants to become a committeeman, and I think everyone should become a committeeman, even people that are running as administrators, they should become a committeeman. It's only a matter of about 40 hours a week, I mean a year. It's all around the election times. And the committeemen are the people who get to choose who goes onto the ballots. And right now, that's been controlled by the powers that be. We need to take it back. We know how to take it back. And we will take it back if the people desire to take it back. So we need everyone to become a committeeman and get involved again. And you know, these when we interview these people that are running for office, this is done in the evenings. So it doesn't disturb our normal duties that we have to do, you know, and our jobs and so on and so forth. And again, it's only a couple hours here and a couple hours there. And then, of course, the elections. At bare minimum, we should be there for the counting of the vote by hand and demanding it. We, the people, have that power. We have that authority. It's the way it is meant to be. The counting of that vote is to be witnessed. And, of course, it's hidden in machines. It's counted in private. So everyone should become a committeeman. Those who are looking for a good job should sign up to become administrators. We have a little over 1,000 people that have signed up for administrators. We need 15,000 people across the nation, so consider that. Look into what it is to become a committeeman again and what it is to become an administrator. If you look under grand jury, you can go all the way down to the bottom, highlight grand jury, and there's a page there you can click on, become a grand jury administrator. And that page will give you some brief information on that. And the other thing, of course, is to go under, we actually put a tab up there on a blue bar called committeeman. So you can click on that. Committeeman or become a committeeman underneath that, and he'll give some details on signing up to become a committee man, give you some basic information. Now, we're going to be doing PowerPoints, okay, video PowerPoints, which we'll be posting up in appropriate places concerning how to become a committee man. We're going to be doing a special thing maybe once a month in the beginning of the month, but I think we should be reminding people every week of this thing called the committee man and how the people can take control back of our government by becoming committee men, and answer the questions that they might have. And we will teach the process through PowerPoint videos. We're going to do a PowerPoint video on the powers and the authority of the committee man, and you know what exactly is involved. And then a second one we will do on how to fill out the designating petition that's required in order to become a committee man. We'll also talk and teach people how to get the list and a different process involved with that. But each state runs at a different time. I'm sure a lot of states run at the same time here and there, but there are some states that come and do this in January and February, and some that March, April, May, and June. So somewhere within the first 6 months your state falls into. On this page for committee men, you do find a list. For instance, January is Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Florida. Over in April, it's Maryland, Wisconsin, Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island, and so on. We have in February, March, April, May, and June. We also will lay out our plan on how we plan to work through that process of the committee man. This is the most important thing to realize. This one thing I'm going to say right now. The day that we, the people, take back the committee man process across these United States, that very same day is the day that the so-called private party associations called the Democratic Party and the Republican Party cease to exist any longer, and from that point forward are unable to proceed and continue under the name of Republican or Democratic Party. The two parties that we see are private associations. It was never meant to be. George Washington spoke about these associations, that these parties would become associations and destroy the very engines that lifted them up to power. They would destroy them, and they are almost destroyed. Our Constitution has been shredded. It's just about gone. I mean, if we don't act now and do what we have to do now, it will be lost forever. And with Donald Trump, President Trump in Washington, you know, he is taking out the deep state. He's draining the swamp. And when that finally happens, and it's coming, anybody that's paying attention right now, it's coming, and it's coming quick. Okay, and I do think it's going to come before the end of the year is out, but it could take on to the beginning of the next year. But there's going to be a huge void, a power void, a vacuum, because these people that have taken control of all these structures that we're talking about, they've taken control of our courts, they've taken control of our political process, they've taken control of our government totally. And when these people are finally removed and brought into courts of justice, that opens up the place where the vacuum, as I mentioned, a power vacuum. And if we the people don't fill that, someone else will. And it won't be the people. And we will just find ourselves back to where we started from, right back here again. And maybe we won't be blessed so much next time that we may have the opportunity to re-seize back our government and bring back our courts of justice. Okay. Okay, so no announcements, huh, Jen? And no questions, no comments, anything?
No, nope, you're free and clear, John.
Okay. Let me just take a look, see what's going on here. Okay, there was a couple people I spoke with on the phone today. Let's see, I got their name written down here somewheres. Josh and Anthony, if you're here, I'm going to open up the queue, and if everybody could wait a minute and let Josh and Anthony get in there. Well, before we do that, is Brent here? I didn't see him in. I'm looking now. Brent, are you here? I guess he's not here. You don't see him, Terry, do you? Or Jan?
Nope, I haven't seen him. I've been watching.
Okay. All right. Well, if he comes in, let us know. We'll hand the mic over to him for a while. But right now, anyway, I was speaking with a couple individuals. I told them, you know, they can come to tonight's program and we can discuss some of the things and the thoughts that they had on their mind. A guy named Josh and another person, Anthony. Now I'm going to click the button here to open up the queue. And if everybody would wait maybe a minute or so, and then you can get into the queue. To get into the queue, you hit a *6, and then I believe you'll be told to hit a 1. So *6 and a 1 to get into the queue. So let me go to queue. So if Josh and Anthony are here, *6 and a 1 to get into the queue. And if not, we'll open it up to everyone else. I'm not seeing anyone come into the queue yet, so... Okay, okay, I see someone from an 845 number. Maybe that's it. Let me open up their mic there. Is that you, Josh?
That's me and Anthony. Yes, sir. How are you?
Good, good. How you doing?
We're doing all right. We really appreciate, you know, what you're talking about over there, and... You know, I guess everybody's got their slight differences or whatever, but I am very dedicated, and so is Anthony, to coming together with, you know, people that at the very basic level realize we got to take our government back, and it's about the people, and, you know, we really appreciate that sentiment. So I don't know if you want me to talk about the specific issue that I was referring to in a media that's going on right now before, or...
Well, you could talk about that or anything else, but, yeah, I think a little bit on that if you want, and we'll see what we can do. You know, you, okay. You had mentioned something about a case, but go ahead, tell us what you were thinking.
You are a
lawyer, correct?
I don't know if I really. I mean, I guess I should plead the fifth with you on that.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a couple of lawyers here, but they're real lawyers. They're not civil lawyers, and they know about the common law, but their hands are tied in the courts. It's very tough. You know, they can't do what we do. Because they put themselves at risk of losing their career and being beaten up thoroughly too to some degree, but
I was only messing with you, but yes, I'm an attorney, and to be honest with you, you know, if they want try to take your license away from you, I would almost take that like, you know, as an honor, because that would mean that I'm a real threat to the status quo, and that's really what
I want
to be.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that would be true.
So. But, you know, I met Mr. Anthony recently, and he came to me and told me a story about how he had turned some of his units, a couple of buildings on his property into apartments, and that they basically came to him and, tried to get him to follow their rules in ways that, you know, I don't really want to get accused of slander or libel. I guess right now I'm a little...
Well, they have the codes, and, you know, I was a builder. That was my career as a builder, a construction manager, and a general contractor. And one of the things I did to avoid these people generally is I worked with an architect, and you know, the architect, once he came onto the site, he would tell the town that they don't need to come out no more because he will certify everything on the site. So any building or construction I would do now, I would just do it through an architect or an engineer and let them do the certifications and then file it into the town. If they want it, we'll give them a copy. But, when you go through their process, it could be a problem. A lot of these inspectors are problematic. And the towns are really problematic.
You've been touching on the rights of judges versus, you know, the people actually the ones who, you know, are supposed to be controlling the courts.
Correct.
And, you know, basically what happened to Anthony is that, you know, he was found in violation of the code, and the judge, you know, took it upon himself to tell Anthony that he had to do X, Y, and Z, And Anthony actually, you know, kind of conformed to what the judge was telling him to do. But the code enforcement officer, who does not like Anthony at all, you know, brought him in and told the judge he was in contempt. And the judge, you know, found him in contempt, and he was sent to jail for 30 days.
Well, like I mentioned to you on the phone, they don't have the power or the authority to do that because the Nisi Prius courts, in other words, administrative courts, they don't have the power to fine or incarcerate. And yet they do. And the only reason they get away with that is because we, the people, are ignorant, and we allow them to do that through our ignorance. And that's why knowledge is so important. If we all step up and you know, do the right, tell them to do the right thing and require it, then we can get somewhere. But if we don't do that, we're just going to fall deeper and deeper under their controls.
Yes, sir. That's why I started hearing about a situation. I said, you know, I mean, I'm very much of an environmental activist, and, you know, I believe that some rules and laws are very important so that we don't, you know, trample on our own, the one planet that we have. But, you know, I'm also like, you know, the government should not be misused and put somebody, you know, make them lose their liberty over, you know, what is nonsense, especially right. when there's lots of other people in the same community who are doing similar things and they're not doing anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unconstitutional because, I mean, you know, one thing, we're all supposed to be treated equally under the law, and that's, you know, they didn't like him personally, and that's why they, you know, went after him. And as you say, they used the judge to trample on his constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, at you know, and when it comes to building, doing any kind of construction, you know, they do have some authority that they need to keep control over it because it's the commercial activities and some contractors and different people out there, maybe that don't know what they're doing, could do something that can injure someone. But again, like I said, dealing with the towns and dealing with these inspectors are a major problem in many, many cases. And it's always easier, wiser, and less hassle to get yourself an architect or an engineer. You know, they have the licenses, and inspectors are not, they're not architects, they're not engineers. You know, they got a bit of an education for what they're doing, and it really isn't sufficient enough for what I've seen. A lot of these guys don't even know what they're doing or what they're talking about. But nevertheless, okay, once the engineer or the architect puts his seal on those papers, then the town's out of there. You know, it's done, and we could just file the papers, and that's what you should do if he's still doing that construction. But meanwhile, what we're doing is we've got lots of cases that are joining with our declaration and our court. We've opened up a court of record, and one of the things we do if people want to join our case is they fill out a joinder. We have an application they can fill out a joinder. We ask for a donation of $100 or more to cover the costs and also to cover costs of other people who can't pay, don't have that kind of money, but maybe need some help. But usually most people can afford something. And what we do is we do an amicus curiae on behalf of the individual within the court. And it doesn't matter how long ago the court was, and it doesn't even matter that it's closed. We could still do something which ultimately is challenging the jurisdiction on your behalf. And they will default that, and then we'll move them into the federal court through the joinder that you filed. They'll be given another 30 days to answer the charges and respond. And if they fail then it'll be a default. If they do respond, then we will have a trial jury look at that and make a decision and file the decision. Now, again, we've opened a court of record. We're doing this already. We've got lots of cases, lots of habeas corpuses. I don't even know how many joinders we have now. We've done a lot of non-judicial foreclosure papers for people who've had that problem with the non-judicial foreclosures. And so we're moving all these cases. This is all becomes part of the evidence of our case against the judiciary and the United States Supreme Court, you know, the federal district court judges and the United States Supreme Court and both houses of Congress, because we're going after them for subversion. And we're giving them a certain amount of time for them to respond and start doing the right thing. With a lot of Congress, I think a lot of them, it's hopeless. I don't think they're going to repent. I don't think they're going to turn to do the right. I think they're too deep into problems that are so serious that they can't escape. Now, with the United States Supreme Court, I'm sure there's a few justices up there that have the same problem. But they have the opportunity. We still have the olive branch out to them. We're going to be filing another paper this week. I'm going to try to file another paper this week talking about the constitutional crisis that we're in, that they put us into. The United States Supreme Court is the responsible party in this case at this point in time, because they can do something. They can make sure justice goes through these federal district courts, because they are the supervision of those courts. They're the supervisors. They are we vested them with the power and the authority, and they have not taken up that power to take care of problems. We informed them many, many times of subversion by enemies, both foreign and domestic, and they have done nothing. We have informed them of Rule 2, which they know about, that have abrogated the Constitution. And they know about this, that no court is operating under the Constitution anymore, anywhere in the United States. I mean, maybe there's one place that didn't get that message and is still operating, but I haven't found it yet. Yeah. We have the only court open at this point in time that is a natural law court. And again, we've been building towards this for quite a few years. And we've been filing papers. You know, our court case started back in 2016. And then in 2017, I think, well, the end of 2017, we actually moved it into the court. Prior to that, we were sending them memorandums. We were sending them writ mandamuses. And they just ignored us. And they continue to ignore us. But the United States Supreme Court is the guilty party at this point. They're not doing anything to fix these problems. You know, within their court system, they have the authority, and they do nothing. Of course, Congress has the power to impeach them, okay? But they'll never get that done. They're so lost in themselves, they'll go nowhere. So we the people will do it for them. We will indict and indict and indict until they get the message. And at some point, again, when that you see, they're maintaining the status quo in these courts only because they have a protection. The deep state is protecting them. They're untouchables, okay? But once they're gone, they're vulnerable. They're open to justice. So anyway, so that's what we're doing. And
an amicus brief? Were you talking about filing it like in the Southern District of New York, or filing it in this new court that you've created?
No, first order of business is the amicus is filed in the court where everything started, you know? So it's the originating court. And with that amicus curiae, what we do is we challenge the jurisdiction on behalf of, the petitioner. And they need to respond. Of course, there's no way they can respond because they don't have jurisdiction. And they're operating, as a matter of fact, they're operating in jurisdictions unknown totally. If they default on that, then we move it into our court for cause, and they got 30 days to respond to the paper that we give them. And if they fail, then we will make a judgment on that. A lot of them will just default, so we file an affidavit of default and move things forward. And again, depending on the judge and what's going on, an indictment might be something that might be applied. But again, that's up to the grand jury to make that decision. We'll come together and make those decisions. On certain things, we've already predetermined. The grand jury has come together already and predetermined certain things. One of the things we predetermined was that any judge who puts their foot in our door, sticks their toes in our door, their fingers or anything, trying to, you know, get into our house of justice and to take control or to shut down or throw out automatically is open for indictment, and we pre-decided that. So anybody who blocks us is indicted. And we've indicted some judges, and we've indicted a clerk. And since then, it's been very quiet in the sense that every once in a while, they send us a letter telling they're going to shut us down or throw us out. But we keep filing. They keep taking. The clerks
are frightened. Well, this guy should be indicted.
Huh?
This guy should be indicted.
Well, that would be we'd look at that. First, we have to see what we could do with the court. If they comply, Well, there is a problem here. You're right, because he's already went to jail. And
yeah.
In his case, that's a pretty big penalty. What, did you go for 30 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a damage, and we can put that into the paperwork, you know. We can work that out.
Because I was going to file a complaint in the Southern District of New York saying that he was selectively enforced against because, you know, they're not treating the same people in the same town the same way. So they're violating his constitutional rights.
You still there?
Yeah.
I thought I lost you there, but well, you're not going to get anywhere. The Southern District is the most corrupt district, although I know that Donald Trump has sent some new people down that way some months back, maybe a year ago or so, but we haven't come into contact with them. They're still doing the same thing, throwing people out for under Rule 12, and the appeal courts are holding up that kind of a situation. We got one case in the United States Supreme Court that's moving through that process because they're being thrown out on Rule 12, and we'll see what happens with that, what they have to say about it.
Right.
But they need to start doing the right thing. So anyway, that's what we're doing, and if you want to participate with us, we can use as much help as we can get, and we'll give you help in whatever we can.
Yeah, I like that idea. Let's all work together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, get a hold of Jan. Jan is our national leader, and get a hold of him. His email is jan@nationallibertyalliance.org, or you can go up to the directory on our website, and you'll see him towards the top, and make a connection. We'll try to get a meeting. You know, you have some a background that could be very advantageous for us, give us a little knowledge and understanding of the things, of the mechanisms that work within the courts that we kind of, you know some about. But, you know, they got all these secrets, you know.
Right. Yep, they do.
All right. Well, appreciate it. We're going to move on to some other people. You got any final comment or a statement or a question before we go? Move on to the next person.
I'm looking forward to working with you guys, so thanks for taking my question.
Okay, thank you. All right, I see Gerard, you're here. You want to take control of the board here? I'll kind of hang out in the background a bit with you.
Yeah, sure. Hey, you know, the Southern District of New York, I wanted to say something about the Southern District of New York. There's indictments going to come down, you know, when the IG report comes out. You might be surprised. That might be one of the courts that cleans up first, because the Attorney General in New York State, they got lots of problems that Trump is directly fighting. So we could get some benefit of those people getting knocked out of there when the indictments.
Can you bring your volume up, Gerard? I can barely hear you.
Yeah, you are kind of low.
Okay. I don't know why I'm so low. Hang on.
You got a headset mic on? Gerard, are you using a mic with a headset? And now he's not talking to me at all, huh?
I guess we shouldn't have said that.
Go on.
was the guy's name that was just talking? Was that Andrew or was it another name?
Well, the guy that was just talking was Josh.
Josh, that's the other name. Okay.
Right. So I think that's probably Josh's phone number if you're going to fix that. He's from New York here, the 845 number. So, okay, let me move to the next caller, and as soon as Gerard gets his mic or whatever fixed up, he can take over the mic. But let's go to John from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead. John from New York, you've been unmuted. And by the way, if we have anyone here that's on the case that we filed for the gun law last year, what was it called? The SAFE Act. Okay. Like I mentioned, we refiled that. Well, we didn't refile it. We moved it into our court of record for cause. They're going to have 30 days to answer, and they'll probably default, and we'll default them and make an order and a judgment on that and move forward. So if anybody got any questions on that or any comments, you know, they're welcome. But again, John from New York, you've been unmuted. You got the mic.
I don't show him as unmuted on mine, John. Can you hit
just
next?
A minute, John.
Oh, okay. You know what? I hit Fred, California Fred.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me mute that guy. We don't want to hear from him.
Right. Sorry, John.
Right. I'm sorry. Let me go to John from New York. John from New York, you got the mic.
Okay, now it says I can ask my question.
There you go.
Okay, so how are you guys doing tonight? You okay?
Well, we're doing good. Gerard, you there yet? You back yet? Gerard's fumbling around with his mic, I guess. But go ahead, John.
Okay, so I have a question on being able to get evidence to the grand jury for them to take over investigation. Basically, we have an assistant district attorney here in Franklin County, New York, that is basically trying to derive the rights of the people to practice law under the color of a statute. And
he's trying to deny them? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he's trying. Okay. Well, any aspect of, you know, the right to assist or, you know, the right to be assisted or any of that. I've been helping a friend of mine deal with traffic court. We're filing in the morning through certified mail. Give me a second because I'm drawing a blank on the
Let me explain something about that process and that problem that you're talking about, especially in the town court. And this is a town court you're talking about?
Yes, the town of Chattagay.
Okay. Look, at these town courts, these judges are as dumb as a box of rocks. They have no clue and understanding of anything. Most of them aren't even lawyers. They don't even have a legal background. You know, they're elected positions, and they go to judge school. I think it's about a week to 10 days long, and they get to learn on how to do certain things, particularly how to assault those people who want to be free and have liberty, particularly. But nevertheless, I have discovered by watching these people that the judge isn't in control in those courts. It's usually the DA or the guy that they're claiming is a DA, and he's not even really a DA. Yeah, we can hear you, Gerard.
Okay, so then I'm good to go. Yeah, he said he's having trouble with the prosecutor, and that's usually what happens. But go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, let me finish off this, and then I'll pass things over to you, Gerard. But the thing is that, again, they don't understand how things are going. They depend on that prosecutor or that lawyer, whatever you want to call him, in the court that's assisting them. For the whatever that lawyer says, the judge does. I mean, you know, and after all, he raised his hand to swear to support and protect and uphold the Constitution, and yet he doesn't even know it himself. But anyway, that's the big problem you have. Now, these people, okay, they're operating here in New York particularly, you being in New York, and I don't know how much it is like this in other states, they've unified all of the courts, okay? So we have a unified court system. And they were able to do that because of the Enabling Act of 1934, where the United States Supreme Court and the federal judiciary, under the control really of the American Bar Association, in other words, they were really given the job to work on this, created the rules of the court. And when they created the rules of the court, they took equity and law and combined them as one. They did this by rule, mind you. Mm-hmm. They combined it, equity and law, made it one, and called it civil law. Now, that brings us right away from the Constitution. So right there, they abrogated the Constitution. That's why when you go into court, you can bring up your rights, your Bill of Rights, anything you want. They just ignore it and keep moving forward anyway. They don't care. Okay, a lot of them do it out of ignorance. Once you get up into the state level, I think if you make the position, okay, on rule, we haven't done this yet on the state level, but if you make the positions on the state level concerning rule Rule 2, that it doesn't apply, and that these rules don't apply to you anyway, because, first of all, those are jurisdictions unknown. And the rules for the court for equity has nothing to do for the rules of the court for law, okay? The rules for law are the rules of common law, maxims, okay? Undeniable truths. That's what we did a paper on that, and a couple of weeks ago we read that paper. So anybody that's interested, you can go up to our weekly page and look for it, and you'll see the paper concerning these rules in equity. Equity and law, would they use the rules to change the law? So these people are operating in a jurisdiction totally foreign to our Constitution. Same problem our founding fathers had. If you hear early enough and you heard us going through the papers for the Declaration of Independence, is exactly what they did. They brought them into courts foreign to their Constitution, foreign to their courts of law. So they do whatever they want. You need to get out of these courts. The best way to do that is to challenge jurisdiction. But you need to understand. Yeah, and then you got to move it. You can't sit in there. We used to challenge jurisdiction, and we didn't know what to do next. And, you know, we went to the school of hard knocks.
What I did is I went on to the NLA site and went under the court documents.
Okay.
And used your draft for the motion to show cause for jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, in that it states that, you know, the presiding court cannot rule over its own jurisdiction, that it has to be moved to the Supreme Court.
It's got to move to the next court up bare minimum, which is a court of record, which would be the county court or the state court. And in this case, probably the state court above the county anyway.
I think the motion states in the wording that it's it has to be moved to a Supreme Court.
That would be the New York State Supreme Court under whatever county you're in, that would take place there. You know, and generally, you know, if you go into the court, you challenge the jurisdiction. You know, many times we've had judges say, yeah, I made a decision, I got jurisdiction. And to deal with these people now, ultimately, that just let them know they just violated and showed their bias, because they didn't hear both sides. And if you're going to rule on what's before the court, and a sworn affidavit, which is what you have put in, a sworn affidavit rules the court, you should be ruling for me. So that shows your bias. You need to move this to the next court. They're not going to do that. So your next step is, I would not go into a state court. I'd go right to the federal court, because that's their jurisdiction.
Exactly. That's the plan. That's the plan is to move for cause into a federal court.
Exactly. Because that is their jurisdiction Article 3. That's the jurisdiction of the federal courts. Is any violation of an unalienable right. We read, for instance, in Article 3, Section 2, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution and laws of the United States and the treaties made or which shall be made, and so on and so forth. So the judicial power in Section 1 is the power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as Congress may from time to time ordain or establish. And that puts them above them, and that's why it's their fault. They allowed Rule 2 to go by, and it doesn't matter that this was done in 1934 and maybe some of these guys weren't even born yet, or most of them weren't anyway. That doesn't matter. They're there now, and they know what Rule 2 has done to destroy our courts of justice and to destroy our Constitution. And they need to fix it. And if they refuse to fix it at some point, we're going to have to indict the justices of the United States Supreme Court. There is no choice. Because, you know, law is law. No one is above it, okay? And half a law is no law at all. Half a right is no right at all. We're not interested in half the law. We're not interested in half a right. It's all or nothing. You know, give me liberty or give me death. And that's
right.
There was even
a Supreme Court case that said that rights do not come in degrees.
That's right. And we use a lot of their own cases in court against them, and they still continue to move on. The United States Supreme Court, really, they kind of just ignore. They don't take cases on. We got a case. I just moved a case into the United States Supreme Court, and they know that the grand jury is behind it, it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do and what kind of decision they're going to make. Because they need to come down and slap a few people down here on the lower level, in the appellate level, and all the way down into the trial court here for abusing the people. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what they're going to do with this particular case we just put in for. So.
Well, so again, my question is, because I had two eyewitnesses in with my friend. I did not assist him. I let him go up and, basically deny to enter a plea, and just, every question, every type of discovery question that the judge was asked, he just basically kept repeating, I can't answer that, I need to speak with my counsel. Basically, this was an arraignment on a speeding ticket. He never entered a plea. He never, when the judge asked him if he consented or if he understood, his response was, no, I do not consent, and I cannot enter a plea at this time as I need to speak to counsel. Mm-hmm. So he never gave them any footing
Even if he did give them some kind of an authority, it was done under stress, pressure, and fraud. So at any mm-hmm. time you discover that, you have the opportunity to say, hey, everything I said before is irrelevant because you defrauded me.
Right.
This whole thing is a fraud. Rule 2 is a fraud. Rule 12 is a fraud. These judges sitting in these nisi prius courts, which are administrative courts, are all frauds. They have no power to fine or incarcerate. They can't do that. Yet they do. And they get away with it because of our ignorance. If people understand
the people stand by and do nothing. I mean, I love that famous quote, all that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to stand by and do nothing.
Do nothing, amen. Well, that's true.
But
just be careful with what you're doing. If you want, you can join your case to ours. We're going to push a lot of cases through. We're making a lot of decisions on cases. We're filing them and everything. And it doesn't matter to us that they're ignoring us. It doesn't matter to us that they're not doing anything. It doesn't matter that these indictments that we put forward aren't being moved forward to go into the court for trial. All of that doesn't matter because, you see, it's the pressure upon them. It's what's going on in Washington, D.C., the pressure there, the pressure that we, the people, are putting here, and the papers that we're nailing to their doors for everyone to see, their sins and what they have done and how they have destroyed and shredded the Constitution, and they have partook in it. They're allowing it to continue, so they are partners with them. And they need to turn from their ways here and start doing the right thing, or they're going to pay the toll. And the toll is going to be the toll of justice. Whatever justice has for them in mind, that's what they're going to have to pay. But they're doing this out of ignorance again, just like we are. We're allowing this to happen out of ignorance. But when you get up to the federal level, they all know what's going on. They're very educated, highly educated people. They've looked at all of these, especially the United States Supreme Court. I mean, just think about it. They're very familiar with all 57 titles, I think it is. So they're very familiar with all the titles and what applies to what, and they know the difference between equity and law. They know what the Constitution is. They know what common law. They know all these things, and yet they sit and stand by and let it go by anyway. They don't do nothing mm-hmm. about it. Now, I can appreciate that they may have had a gun to their head for quite some time, but I think that gun is unloaded now, and it's time for them to realize
that. Yeah, I think they're acting of their own accord.
Mm-hmm. So.
My major question here is, we have audio recordings, two eyewitnesses. I took notes, on what happened during the court proceedings while we were there. and we, you know, we've discussed it, and we would like to see, you know, the grand jury investigate this ADA, you know.
Well, let me tell you, here's the problem. We don't have enough manpower. We don't have enough people who are able to work all these things. We definitely don't have the time or the ability to investigate particular things. If people do a deep investigation, we're working with another lawyer and a friend of his that they got a case, and you know, they're doing all the investigation and bringing everything to us. And it's a big case. It's an important case, and it's going up against these drug companies. Something like that we would do and spend the time as long as the investigation was done by someone else, because we can't do that right now. Our focus right now is only on specific cases that really make the point hardcore to both Congress and the United States Supreme Court. And we're going up after enemies foreign and domestic. Right in our Supreme Court, right in our government, so that's where our big focus is. Now, all these other cases that we're joining to, okay, and they're doing joinders and bringing them in, it's all jurisdictional challenges, and we do put a wherefore clause in there. I think it's $1,000 face value of silver, real money, which is interpreted today at about $18,000 to $19,000. But that's the damage number we're putting in for everyone. We may do something a little different for people who have lost their children and abused, or maybe someone that's been in jail or something like that. We may adjust that for them. But that'll be and they will default, and we will file the defaults. Affidavit of default will be filed by the individuals whose court case it is, and we will do a sealed copy of the default and file the papers for them and press forward and move it over. If necessary, depending on the case and what's going on, we will indict the judge. We'll bring the judge up for indictment. And again, we've already made decisions for certain situations in automatic indictment, particularly anyone who tries to stop this case from going forward. But if we do a habeas corpus and the judge fails to take care of the business that he needs, because we usually put it to the chief judge within that federal district. They're responsible to make sure that a hearing is held and this person is given due process. And if that judge fails to do it, we've already decided that's an automatic indictment. We'll give him a couple of chances to, you know, fix the problem, but then indictments follow.
Well, you know, my biggest concern with this is that, it, you know, if we don't start, you know, in our own backyards, you know, the local people, the common man is never going to believe that we have the power to put these judges and ADAs in their place. So we have to, you know, on a personal level, in our own communities, exert our sovereignty that we have over these people.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's exactly what National Liberty Alliance is doing. It is trying to train and teach people on their local level, grassroots level. Look, we the people need to step up and take power.
Absolutely.
We are teaching them that, on how to do that. Power, you know, knowledge is power, okay? When you have knowledge, I know whenever I get a – I remember way back when the first time the IRS started to assault me, and I started to try to figure out, well, what I'm going to do. And as I started to dig into it, I knew to go into the Constitution, and that was really the first time I was really looking into it, and that's a little over 20 years ago. And at that time, I started to see things, and I started to collect and find a lot of Supreme Court decisions. I was quite naive back then, but I started using that information, but they ignored it. Totally, I was totally appalled. I was just drawn back. How can they ignore what I'm saying? This is the law, but they ignored it. And of course, you know, like I said, I was quite naive concerning this way back then. But whenever I'd have to write a paper or anything and sit down, I always start to feel empowered when you start to research and pull out all of this great sources of information, our founding father statements, the Constitution, maybe something in the Federalist Papers, the Supreme Court rulings, all that, the Marbury versus Madison particularly, a very powerful case, you know. Mm-hmm. So people need to feel empowered. We've had sheriffs tell us they didn't know what to do. Well, that's because of their ignorance. But if they read, if they empowered themselves, they'd know what to do, what they can do, and what they can stand on. You can stand on the authority of the Constitution and push it and press it forward. So this is what the people have to do. So everyone should really get out here right now. Everyone, if you haven't done this, okay, anybody in hearing my voice, whether this is the recording you're listening to or getting me live here, go out to nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight committee man, click on become a committee man, and fill out the information, sign up to become a committee man, and start to look into the things we're going to be putting together to teach people how to do that. Like I said, we're going to be doing, the committee man is a very powerful position, okay? We only need 5 committee men in every state to take over the entire state, to take the entire political system back and get rid of the private associations and shut them down. You know, the Republican Party and the Democratic parties, they have office buildings and they have phones and they have people working there. It's a private association, and all of that has to cease from operating. Once the committeemen take back control and take back the name of Republican Party or Democratic Party. And so, they have to go find another name. They just lost all their power. And you know what? And I've thought this out and thought it out and thought it out, and I'm constantly looking at this from different angles. If we, the people, took control on the political level through the committeemen, political process, took control of our courts, okay, by being the administrators for the grand jury and the trial jury, orientate them, bring them in, get them ready and prepared, start educating the public, and start enforcing the law, which is the Constitution, upon these people that are in office, there's absolutely no reason for politics. Any politicking would be repugnant. And politics is nothing but, you know, one side against the other side, trying to get the leverage over the other side. And there's nothing to do. If we apply the law, there's nothing else to talk about. We've already laid out what it is that they need to do in the Constitution. Article 1 tells the legislators what they can do and what their job is. Article 2 sets forth the administration. And Article 3, the judiciary. And they need to be obedient to those things. And if we apply them and tie them down to the chains of the Constitution, politics will be a thing of the past. It's not necessary anymore.
Well, anyway. I agree with it. I mean, we have to bind them to the chains, you know, yep, that they're supposed to be bound to.
That's right.
You know, but so many people are convinced by the education system or, you know, the different, you know, mainstream news outlets out there that, you know, the government is superior to the people, and, you know, that's just not true. The problem is, you know, too many people ignorantly consent to these deeds.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my mind was taken away by something else. Can you say that last statement you said?
I said that, you know, the major problem is that people, you know, ignorantly consent to these deeds the education system or the propaganda machine, this mainstream media. You know, I hear all the time in my local community, well, I've got a spouse and kids, and I don't have time to do that research, but, you know, they spend, you know, half of, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, you know, staring at the idiot box, watching people throw balls around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And look at it. They come to National Liberty Alliance. So we've already done the research. We've laid it out. They only need to check us out. That's all.
They're too lazy to even read.
Huh?
They're too lazy to even read. I mean, if it's not Harry Potter or some fanciful, you know, life, they're not, you know, they're not interested.
Well, the general public has been driven in those ways. And remember, you know, these people that control us control our education, they control our entertainment, they control all our electronics. I mean, they have corralled us into these things. And they keep moving us forward and forward into their sandbox and into their program. And in many places, we can't help but participating with that, you know. But it's time to take it back, and we have that opportunity to do it. And if we don't, woe is us. But look, we don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And we only need 15,000 to 30,000 people across this nation to totally, 100% take back our nation, to be the consenters again. We can do that. But we need the people to step up and do it. We need everyone to become a committee man. Go up here and sign up to become a committee man. And again, you know, the committee man process for this election coming up doesn't kick in until the next election, not 2020, but 2021's elections, and in 22. And so those are the 2 years you'd be empowered for, which is the light years, and that's good because it gives us a lot more time and power and focus on the people within our election district, so we can start educating them. We can start moving things into our local schools and get a good civics course and a good constitutional course into our schools, one that empowers the people. Teaching our children, you know, how to go into a court. They should understand what a court of law is and the difference between equity and law. And they should be able to write a paper and file it in a court at any given time and represent themselves. You know, I know some people find it hard to articulate themselves, especially in public. But, you know, others, you know, you can get people to help you on that. But nevertheless, we have to become educated. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. And so this is what we have to do. It's our job. If we fail to do it, woe is us, and we deserve the loss of our heritage, our liberty, our nation, our Constitution. And we will curse our posterity. But we got to do it. All right, let me pass. We'll go on to the next person. Let me pass things over to Gerard. Are you back yet? You ready to take control here? Gerard.
Yeah, I could only get to the mute button that fast.
You're not fast enough, man. Quick draw.
Okay. I think we got Dan from Carolinas coming up. Unmute you now. Dan. Hello, Dan.
Greetings to everyone. This has been so enlightening this evening, as always. This is Dan Stanley out of Carolinas. Hope everybody's doing well. And I really am kind of like at the 11th hour here. I really do need a bona fide copy of what would be a common law land trust. There's been many others that I've heard on this conference that could benefit by this as well. And I know that Mr. John, you and all the team have been so due diligent and have come pretty close. I'm wondering just exactly how close are we to where there will be one posted, because I really have needed one for at least for the last 30, 60, maybe 90 days to get things moving. I'm at a junction, I guess it would be the better word, with, and I won't call the towns, you know those towns, and of course Mr. Jan does the same right good bit of information that I've sent professionally. And in closing, also, there is a document that Mr. Jan can definitely get over to you, where is a synopsis of what my parents' estate and I, even while they were living and then afterwards, have experienced at the hands of the powers to be. And I refer that as to be the criminal enterprise that is in probably, no question about it, 3133 or 32, whatever the counties are that make up of America. There's no doubt about it that it's, you know, in full works against the everyday Christian man, and those especially that, you know, want justice and want to go in a courtroom where there would be truth presented and no falsehoods. What I just stated, if you could look over that synopsis and really, I believe it would suffice to be put as an affidavit. I think those two areas, the common law land trust and the affidavit part that I know that I have to state all the truth to be put registered with Secretary of State, as I understand, and then also at some point this goes on to a particular officer with the federal government. This would move light years of 35 years of controversy or more with my parents and dealing with, I'll just say in this in closing, just one area. My brother fabricating a fraudulent POA and stealing millions and millions of financials, not to count, many, many millions of real estate holdings out of the Stanlin estates that belonged to my grandfather and then rolled over to my parents of Brunswick County in North Carolina.
Okay, well, we never did too much with land patents.
Dan?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Did you get the 5 documents I sent you earlier last week?
Is that on the trust?
Yes.
Commonwealth Trust?
That you sent me, I sent on to Dan.
Okay, yeah. You know, and I will post those. Those are rough, raw documents, and I'd like to have spent more time with them to be more specific, but people need to be careful to read through those papers very, very carefully and think free. Don't think like a slave. You don't have to report to anyone. You want to apply this. You might want to file it for common knowledge in your county if you want to do that. Of course, if you're going to get an account, there's a process, you know, a bank account, there's a process for that. And I would think that if you go through this common law trust process that, you know, we sent to you, it gets all the instructions and everything you need there. But again, you got to think it out and you got to think free. But once you go through that whole process, I think you could probably do something with the land also in the same way. The key thing for the land is to go and try to change your property to private property. Okay? If you can get the title changed, that in itself could be helpful. But I wouldn't worry too much because, you know, all these taxes, these unlawful taxes, probably in the next year or two is going to be a thing of the past because, you know, tax on property is unlawful. It's a direct tax. You know, you don't own your property if they can take it away from you if you don't pay them, obviously. So it's unlawful. And just like the income tax, again, it's a direct tax. It's unlawful. You can't tax a person's sweat, you know. Now, but as far as the land and doing something with the land, you could probably take this this common law trust and be very creative in using the proper wordage around the structure, using the structure and just changing a few words here or there. But again, go for private land. This is private property. You know, once you call yourself residential, you're in the game. Commercial, you're in the game. If you're listed with, I forget what they used to be, like R1, R2, R3, you know, which is whatever that is, residential and then commercial, you know, they have different numbers for that too. Once you're in that game, you're in the game. You're in the sandbox. You got to get the name out. I don't think it's really necessary, in my opinion, to have to go trace things back and get the land patent thing going and all that stuff. A lot of work, a lot involved, and I don't think it's necessary.
If I may say this, the problem has been that we have held that property all the way from the King of England and the Stanlin family consistently. And from my grandfather then late on to my parents, which are in the Standlin, and then to me.
Do you have a copy of the original Lodial?
Pardon?
Do you have the original Lodial title, maybe way back when? Do you have any paperwork, older paper?
That would take some digging in there, and but
well, it would be in the person, you know, in your what are you saying? This is your grandparents or something, or your parents?
The situation was that it was such a large holding, it was up in the millions of acres, and you'll never see this again. But it was up here, so it's simpler for me right now to let you know in closing. Is that there has been a meeting of the minds with the GIS. There's been certified surveyor with all the documents that surveyed the property, ascertaining the title to be belonging to me by, if nothing else, the will of my last surviving parent, which was my mother. I'm the executor of the estate. The problem has been is when we paid $35,000 in a situation that my brother orchestrated against that homestead in way of, like, foreclosure for taxes. They never would give me my title, and they have left defunct title of purported sales of that same property after that, which is ludicrous, where Douglas, my brother, has sold a certain, out of thin air, portion of that property. And he clearly does not meet the General Assembly. I know Mr. Jan's heard this about 15 times. And they know that up there in Bolivian Register Deeds that has been put on record is a violation of the laws by the General Assembly of North Carolina. It doesn't meet the criteria, so it's worthless paper, but yet it's holding up my title to that property. And then there's more to it than that, because there's this whole track is an 830-acre track. In closing with you, prima facie evidence that my father paid off two mortgages, including the ad valorem taxes to Federal Land Bank, that was a loan by my former grandfather, D.E. Stanley. And so it's never been settled. And I've had to notice these towns that are encumbering on the 830-acre tract. And by the way, Jan has a copy where I finally have drafted a no trespassing sign. And then it goes further than that. It says caviar emptor, and it goes right on into agents and everything else that have trespassed the town of this particular town of Brunswick County, South Brunswick Islands area, has trespassed. And clearly there's laws, in closing with you, the legislators have there's a gentleman by the name, I can call this man's name, Mr. Frank Idler, who initiated the documents, his House of Representatives. And there is no longer any more five-party in a town council that can come and impose involuntary annexation. It's totally unlawful. Whereas this town did exactly that, and they have yet to correct that, nor have they in their past 30 days on what would be a default judgment, because the people in my parish asked me to help them represent their cause, and the town, they were sent, this town, all the litigants, is about close to 90 of them, sent these documents that I drafted to two towns in South Brunswick Islands, and rebutted and refused and demand a redress of grievances. And so it's been way, way too many 30 days past that, and so they're in default of judgment right there. So what I'm trying to say is the powers to be can be stopped by me putting, I've already served them, even their policeman, chief of police, simultaneously in the town council. And so now I want to put this perfected document into the secretary of Miss Elaine Marshall. They know me. And then upon that, then I want this document to be sent on to the proper official with the federal government. And upon it coming back, oh, by the way, I need to send it a red tag, which that will be the case number. And I'll probably do that as soon as I get, you know, a proper common law land trust that I feel like based
right,
on.
Well, look, it looks like you got a plan. You know, it's an uphill battle for you. You know, keep us informed. And I'd like to know how things go when they start
sure.
to make decisions and so on. But, you know, the best we can do is to give you that, you know, information we gave you on creating a common law trust. And again, that structure, you could probably use it and turn it into whatever you want, you know, as a common law procedure, you know, because the structure is there.
I thank you kindly, and I do apologize, Jan and Mr. John and all, and Gerard. I've been so darn busy, it takes me over 2 hours to go through all my emails, but I've been so darn busy, I must have missed this somehow or another, and I ferociously ask for forgiveness there as to the fact that you guys, knowing how busy you were too, I've been waiting, and boy, I tell you what, every night, everybody in America needs to be on this conference.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. All right, well, Jan will send it out to you again, I'm sure, and, you know, keep us abreast. And I'd like to know as you progress and they make certain moves, I'd like to hear the moves so we can grow with you on this.
I will say that about 10 seconds or so, because I talked right good bit here. There is another individual that Mr. Brent Allen Winters, and boy, was that an awesome conference. And this regards to a research that I'm helping another family type person, almost. He's not completely family, but he's like family, up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And if we could get somehow a communication ongoing with Mr. Brent Allen, and maybe sometime just for a few minutes, if nothing else, with you, Mr. John, and Jan, to sort of bring you guys up to speed, that would be appreciated. I know you're so busy.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see what we could do. Keep us abreast of things, and like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to you, you know? So.
Absolutely, and okay. I just want to thank those people tonight that have come on this conference, and it's really been enlightening the rest of us, as well as a lot of others on many other nights. I'll close right there for saving time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Back
Dan,
to you, Doug. Yeah.
I'm just resending that again for you, Dan, so check your email in the morning, okay?
Hey, by the way, Jan,
right.
How are we doing?
You guys are the best. I'll tell you, I don't know what I'd do without Mr. Jan.
Jan, how are we doing on getting a hold of all of the election laws for all of the states in a PDF?
About 12 states short right now, I think.
Okay, do you have a list maybe you can read off for people that can go and try to get that info for us?
Yes. Give me a minute. I can find it.
Okay. All right, meanwhile, we'll pass things back over to Gerard. When you get it, kind of squeeze in here and just make the announcement. Gerard?
Yeah, hey, Dan's got a lot more than most people have, because most people can't trace the land back like he can. And that's a stumbling block. They tell you that. Oh, no, unless you can trace it all the way back, we can't use that. So he's way further than the average guy that goes in there, because a lot of these records got... You know, lands were done differently. Some of them came from the king, and then some of them were United States territory, and then they sent them over to the people. So not everybody's land patent is the same, depending on where they came from, you know? Sounds to me like he's got a lot of the basic stuff that they look for. That's a big stumbling block for a lot of people's property, because they go back so far, and then it stops, you know what I mean? And they can't trace it back. But anyway, that's another story. All right.
Yeah, if you want the list, I think Terry said a couple of these have been picked up. It's Alaska, Hawaii, Kansas, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia. I think Terry said maybe Alaska and one other had been picked up.
All right, so anybody who could maybe take a state and search out a PDF copy of the election law for that state or your state, if your state has been listed there. So we need some help for that to gather all this information. We already got someone who's going to do the research for us, you know, to discover specifics about each state, how the committeeman operates within that state. But anyway, back to you, Gerard.
Okay. We have Barbara from New York is... Hang on, let me unmute her. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi.
You've been unmuted.
Hi. Thank you. I have just three questions that pertain to New York, and I'll try to be brief. I heard mentioned earlier, I guess it was John, saying that a rule had been passed very recently about mandated vaccinations. Is this for children in school, or is it for everybody in New York?
I'm getting the information on it. No, it's for everybody. It's not just
children. Oh, my God.
And but you see, they're going to pick on the schools first because that's the Achilles tendon. So Cuomo is pushing that. Yeah, well,
because they can put the attendance in school over you. Is that it?
Right. And look, you know, it's one thing you not want to take the vaccination. It's a different thing you not giving it to your child. You see, they feel more. They feel they have more control over that child than over you. And,
right.
And in a certain sense, they do because we're ignorant. And as far as, you know, what our rights are. So that's going to be...
And also, yeah, they can say you're not being a good parent as well. Is that?
Yeah, right. They're gonna attack you like that. They're going to say, you know, you got to do this and blah, blah. I mean, just recently, I think it was Albany Med suspended 12 nurses that refused to take the flu shot. So it's starting to come to a head, you know.
Wow.
And Cuomo, he's just a useful idiot, you know. They're gonna use him... Just like this whole House impeachment thing, a lot of those people up there doing what they're doing are useful idiots, and they're cannon fodder, and they know that they're going to go down, crash, and burn, but they don't care. They're making chaos, and that's what they're doing. So Cuomo, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at some point, you know, if he doesn't try to do forced vaccinations. But I mean, that's, you know, when it gets down to that, that's like that's civil war, that's revolution, but.
But you said that, I mean, the John is saying that they're going to, if you're not complying, they're going to come to your door. That is set forth.
Well,
right?
Basically, that's what the law says. He didn't say he would do that. I mean, look, he has that option. Now, I would hope that he's smart enough not to do that, and he would probably be stopped because the guys above him understand that when you do that, you're passing a point of no return, and that's going to bring actual come to blows because people will defend that, you know what I mean, if it gets to that point. But you know, it's just like what happens today with anything else. They put a gun law in, and they don't really enforce. What they do is they wait till they pull you over on the road. They take you out one person at a time, and that's basically, I think, what they're going to do with this vaccination thing. You know, they're going to start with the healthcare officials. You can't go to work. You know, you won't be allowed to go here. You won't be allowed to go there. And so they're going to just keep putting pressure on in hopes that they can get everybody, you know, to toe the line with their vaccinations. But, you know, they're operating, and we're working with a guy that wants to run a case through the federal court. But the vaccination law passed in the 80s said that they could pass mandatory vaccinations, but there was certain caveats when they put in that whole vaccine damage board where you're supposed to be able to go and get compensated because they're basically saying that you have to get them, and so there's a certain liability on their part. and they set up this board that you can go to if you've been damaged. Well, we know now after all these years that only 1% of the people that have been damaged ever get to that board. And the other thing is there was a caveat on it that said as long as they did periodic studies to prove that these vaccinations were actually worked, you know, that they had to bring that every 4 years into the CDC or the FDA or whoever was running this thing and prove that the studies were done to show that they were efficacious, that they actually did work. And so there was a FOIA request sent in, which I'm waiting to see this paperwork, and they sent it into the I think it was the Centers for Disease Control. And what came back was they don't have any studies, which means they didn't do the first study, much less the fifth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, or any of them. Every 4 years, they're supposed to come back in with a redo of the clinical work to show that the vaccines work. Heck, the flu vaccine, it's supposedly they tried to guess the strain that's going to be running around that year. It's such a joke. It's so ridiculous.
I'm not even concerned whether it works or not. I'm concerned about what they stick in this extra. And William Thomas, isn't he the one who with the famous case where he brought it into the out into the open? He confessed to a father of a son who was damaged, and he provided. I've heard it's the most well documented. Medical criminal uncovering in history or something, because he showed that the thermosol had really damaged black children under three, and tremendously so. And so they do get their information and then they hide what they've got, at least in that example. But even if they did say, oh, well, our flu vaccine works, I don't care. I know that they stick in all kinds of crazy things, and that's what I'm concerned about. They wouldn't,
They can't even say they know it works because they haven't done the first study to prove that it works. Now, as far as the mercury and the thermosol that they put in and the squalene and everything else that they do, they put things in as an adjunct to kick the immune system up.
Yeah,
those things are highly damaging. And yes. we have other studies. It's been so long that the information is out there. We don't need their studies because we already know from other studies that in the field that they've discovered, you know, when you put squalene in, it comes back years later and it does this and that. And that was not a vaccine study. That was some other study for some other organization or whatever. That fact is public knowledge, though, and that's what we could use against them. There's enough people out there, and what we need is anybody that has that information to send it over to us. I mean, I'd love to see the original FOIA request that came back that says they don't have. They don't have those studies, which means they never did those studies or they would have them. So they're already in violation of their own caveat, as far as what they're supposed to be doing. So we know that. But, of course, you know, like anything else, just like these courts we deal with and stuff, they ignore it and they just move forward and they steamroll over the people. You know, this thing has to get to a point where, you know, parents and people are in the streets complaining about it, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're going to have to end up fighting it where the rubber meets the road, but we're planning on running a case in through the Supreme Court, which now is a very good time to do that, I think. So anybody that's got that concern and anybody that knows anybody that's a health official, a doctor, somebody who's been published that wrote articles, you know, we can use even news articles that were put in papers, just like they try to do with Trump saying, you know, they put information out there and the newspaper reports on it. Well, that's bona fide evidence as far as they're concerned. So we could do the same thing. We could use anything that they've published in the public papers and say, look, here's your own admission. Okay. This is published in this paper, you know, this established news media that there's this study that says this or that. So if anybody has any information that's kind of like firsthand like that, I mean, that would be, they should send it off to us, to Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org, because we're going to...
What do you mean by firsthand?
I'll tell you what, on the FOIA request that somebody just recently put in, and I got to get the information on that.
Okay.
If somebody has seen that, the fact that the FOIA request came back saying we don't have any of those studies, if that was printed in a news article, we can use it in our case. But it would be nice to have the original document, a copy of the document where they actually said they don't have it. That would be even better than a newspaper article or a magazine article or a health report, you know, published report. You know, from whatever, but you know, we'll take whatever we can get, and there's a lot. I know for a fact that there's lots and lots of evidence. It's all hanging out. It's in their own paperwork, the evidence. You know, you can damn them just by going through their own papers, you know. So anyway, that's some footwork. I mean, if you're interested in that, if you could do some digging, that would help me, because I'm kind of spearhead this thing to get the information to John so that he can write a paper to stick it in the court on the big case. So that would be good. And anybody else listening, if they have any other, you know, resources to give us this information, and we like affidavits too, sworn statements from people that say I have, you know, personal and firsthand knowledge or whatever that this is what's going on.
I subscribe to VaxCal. Could you know them?
Who is
they
it?
Have information. VaxCal. They do.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
They provide a lot of information on what's actually in the vaccinations, and they recently published this promotional thing they had, which they soon removed from the internet because they didn't want anybody to see it. And it's a series of PowerPoints on how to deal with parents of children, and it's outrageous. They say don't provide information, use a sense of trust in your authority. Things that, you know, it's like don't tell them the whole story. I don't know if that helps you at all.
That's another good piece that should go into the case. That's another, you know, it shows that they're complicit in the
fraud. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Oh, and it also says how they censor and then ridicule. And they actually say, this is things, there's no way they want you to have this. It says that it's an organization who does it. This is like a marketing organization specializing in things like this. So they say that they do a study. They look for the people who write things against vaccinations. They look into them, and then they will publish their names in a little article and ridicule. I mean, this is on this PowerPoint thing, and it says don't discuss this except if someone needs to know about it. So VaxCal got a hold of it, and I made a copy of it. If you want to see that,
that would be another piece of evidence that we should include in the packet to go to the court. The other thing is if anybody's in the healthcare industry, and I know we have a lot of people, and that we know people, we need some of those long form side effects that they don't show the people. Like the box says one thing, the box the vaccination comes in. Well, in there is a paper, and in that paper it has all the side effects and the specs or something of the studies of the side effects. That's another one that they don't want anybody to see. But we should be able to get a hold of it because it, by law, it's in every box. So anybody that's working, you know, just take the box out of the garbage with the paper in it and send it over to us so that we can document what's right in the box, because they're gonna damn themselves, you know, their own research damns them. Okay,
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to go on too long. We got other people, but this
is
This is a good subject, and it's going to become very important to everybody. Everybody in America.
They,
look, they're going to start it in New York because once they put it through in New York, it'll go. It'll march across the nation. So if they can let Cuomo get away with it for schools and healthcare facilities, then it'll just march across the nation. They'll say, yes, we have a right. You know, if they can, you know, their guidelines for what they're calling an emergency is ridiculous. I mean, if two people come down with the measles or something, well, then it's an outbreak, you know?
It's ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous. And basically, usually the people that come down with it are people that have been vaccinated. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like their own data disproves what they're trying to say. So, like I said, I'm going to repeat again. If anybody can get us any information on that stuff, send it over to us.
I got three of them straight from the pharmacist. I think it's the longest information that the pharmacist holds on.
They call it the long form. Like the box has a couple of highlights, but you want the long form.
Long.
Should be in the box. Every box of what he has there is supposed to have that long form in, but nobody reads it. Sometimes they don't even give it to you. You know?
Yeah, I have a very nice pharmacist, and I said, you know, they tell me that they're going to take, that it's not going to be okay to put any information on the contents of vaccinations online at all, and that I should ask for it now, and can you give me something? And so they gave me three little packets, and they're folded up, and they're really long.
Right. That's what I'd like to see. We need some of those. If you can copy them and send it to National Liberty Alliance, you know,
Jan at NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
You can email it in an attachment or something. So that copy them and put them in the case.
But Gerard, before you take your next caller, are you finished?
Well, I do. Can I ask you a couple quick questions? Could I just finish? Will someone, like I have a son in a sophomore in college. Will that come up pretty soon for that age group?
It's going to happen. It's happening right now.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I can't give you the... You know, I mean, look at if they're suspending nurses in Albany Med for not taking the flu shot, we're pretty far along here. You know?
Are we really the first state that they're doing this?
We're the first state that took away the religious exemption and took away all exemptions. That's the difference because they're saying you don't have a right to not put this in your body, and I mean your first right in this our Constitution and freedoms are couched in property rights. That's what the Constitution and Bill of Rights is all about, property rights. And your first piece of property is your body. Just get your head around that.
Your body
is your first piece of property. So what they're telling you, what they're doing is they're taking your property rights away. They're taking away your rights to your own body. And that's what we have to push forward here that the average person doesn't understand. You know?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, Gerard.
Thank you. I really appreciate it very much. I'll send those things over.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate that, too. Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, before you take the next caller, do you know how to get in to adjust your mic level?
I can't find it.
All right. Well, look it. Go to, you can do this real quick. Go to your control panel, you know, on your Windows control panel.
Yeah.
And you'll find in there sound. Click on sound.
Hardware and sound.
Right? Yeah, sound.
Yeah, I tried.
Okay, when you get the sound, click on recording.
I don't see recording.
It should be playback, recording, sounds, and communication tabs.
Just system volume.
Okay, then when you get into recording, double-click on your microphone, and then click on levels, and then you can adjust your levels and save it.
Volume mixer, that's speakers.
I believe I have it all the way up in there. Change, hang on. Manage audio devices. Here we go.
You got a microphone boost in there also. You might need to put that up then.
Hey, you can get up to 30 dB of gain out of that with your boost. Drop it up 10 and see what it does.
I see my microphone. It says...
you want levels.
It doesn't say that. It says, oh, configure maybe?
No, there should be five titles across the top. General, listen, levels. Levels is the one you want.
Yeah, levels.
Well, I'm in the sound box, and then it says playback, recording, sounds, and communications. And when I go to recording...
Click on recordings, yeah.
And there's a microphone. It says mic. It shows my log.
Double-click on the mic. Do you see the mic going up and down as you talk?
Yep. Yeah, there's a...
All right, well, double-click on that.
Yeah, it does... okay.
Another box, and then you get your levels. Click on level, and then you can adjust.
Well, mine is at 70, and it won't make me go any higher.
Okay, go to microphone boost underneath that next line down. You can add 10 dB to that. Mine's running 20 dB at the moment. And you can just grab the arrow and move it to the right to increase the gain.
All right, anyway.
Hang on.
A little of mine.
No, it won't let me do it. Advanced says select a sample.
All right, well, you can go as you go now. Later on, you can fool around with it. Just speak a little louder. You're not too bad, so.
I think I need a new mic because I think this thing, that you know, it's got a broken wire in it, I think. So that's probably the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll open my mouth larger.
There you go.
Okay.
Rattle that tongue.
Yeah. Okay, it looks like James from, is it Michigan? Is next. James, can you hear
me? Yes.
You're unmuted. Go ahead, buddy.
All right. Now, I know I don't have a direction of the cause for this conversation, except that, let's see, if we're going to avoid vaccinations, I mean, because there's a process, I believe. You know, it's on my mind, so it's on the tip of my tongue, so I'm just going to say it. Now, we are all property owners because, well, I claimed mine. Last name first, comma, first name, middle, all together with no spaces for the capital letter's name. And when I claim it the same way, upper and lower case. So I am in possession of that property. I mean, so if I would have had children, which I don't, I would have claimed all of their titles, their so-called entity, so that they can be moved out of the trustee level and into the beneficiary level. And then posed a challenge that, well, wait a minute. So you're demanding common law people to adjust to that law? Where's the law that says that that is true law when what common law is true law? I mean, it's just a difference of direction, but if you don't throw the challenge out there, you have to acquiesce by silence and don't be silent. I mean,
right.
Supposedly.
Well, all law is is self-evident. Anytime you find a law, it's self-evident, or any kind of a position or a rule for the court. For instance, all men are created equal. That's a maxim. That's the rules of common law. Innocent until proven guilty. That's a common law maxim. Okay, and that's how the courts are driven. But the problem is, you can do all those things, and we do. They still beat you up and throw you out and do what they want with you anyway. And that's the problem. It's a serious, serious problem. People are being just destroyed in courts. And that's why we're doing what we're doing with this case. And there's power in numbers, and that's why we're joining cases and pouring it on them, you know. So,
you know, as far as taking control of the property and all that, I mean, look, that's a UCC-type procedure. There's people out there that go through the whole secured party creditor, and they reclaim their name, and they copyright their name so the government can't use it. And that's all nice stuff, but the thing is that doesn't help you at the lower levels. The only ones that'll even look at that or think about that, I think, are on the Supreme Court level. And by the time you get there, you know, the local and even the state judges don't recognize that, or they either don't know or they don't care. And so, like John said, you end up getting beat up on your way there when you're doing that. You know, we don't like to give the fiction credibility, and that's part of what that is. You know, that's what it is. They've done some magic word stuff, and they've taken away our rights. And, yeah, I mean, look, at just like when you sign something, you're supposed to sign it under protest, right? If you're paying your land taxes, you should be signing your name under protest, because if you're giving it to them, that means you agree you owe it to them, no? I mean, but if you don't pay that bill, they're going to take your property, so you're doing it under duress. But you should put under there, you know, under duress, or, you know, with reservation, or whatever you put in there for that caveat. I know somebody that did that, I think, for their driver's license when they signed it, and they wouldn't let him leave. They would not give him a license because he put under protest, because you can't, the license, by virtue of what the license is, says that you're going to follow their rules and regulations, and that's what they're getting. A license is permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. So you can't sign your license under protest, because that means you're not going to abide by the rules and regulations as laid down therein. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Yeah,
the clerk must have been pretty savvy to catch that, but she put her foot down and she would not let that guy leave there with that signature. She would not put his license in. So that's the, you know, you run into people, and, you know, a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing too. You know, give somebody some authority, they got a little bit of knowledge, they beat you over the head with it, you know. But
abuse of power.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, she's right. Technically, she was right, though.
Well,
how
you look at it.
Well, if you're gonna ask the state permission to drive, and then you're gonna say under protest, it's like, I take it back. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can't.
And the other one. I'm sorry, but the other thing to put under that name is sign it as proceeded, as I said, last name first, comma, first and middle together, without prejudice.
Right. I saw a nice little thing where they showed all the different ways of signing your name in order to control, you know, what you're doing by your signature, like you said, last name first, you know.
Yes. Continue, but
well, you know, as far as the driver's license is concerned, it really doesn't matter. Just sign your name, because it's for commercial activity, and you just got it just in case you want to do some commercial driving. The other thing is, it's a good ID, and if a cop wants to see it, hey, what the heck, let him show it to him. But you can take a different position in court, you know. But again, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, you're going to end up in Supreme Court, because the local courts won't do it. I mean, you know, there was another guy on here about the traffic thing that he had, and technically, you can take it, you can, when you're challenging jurisdiction, the next court up can decide it if they were going to do the right thing. It doesn't need to go to the Supreme Court, because the next court up is their boss, right? So if that court does the right thing and say, oh, no, you don't have jurisdiction, you wouldn't have to go further. But, you know, really, it is a Supreme Court issue, because that's what they have control of. But when you take it up to the Supreme Court, a lot of times what the Supreme Court does is throw it back down and go, you haven't exhausted all your administrative remedies in the lower court, which is a lie, because the lower court really can't establish that jurisdiction. But that's something that people have to understand when they go in there. That's one of the things they're going to throw at you is, oh, no, we're throwing it back to this, because they don't want those cases to begin with. You know that. You know, they're not going to they don't want to decide on the side of freedom. And of course, when you get up to the Supreme Court, like John says, a lot of those judges, they know the law, and their hands are kind of tied on the way that they have to rule. So they'll throw it back down in the state court, hoping that you get stymied running through the lower courts, you know, Court of Appeals and this and that. So anyway.
So is it silence acquiescence, and then you can further down the road with the acquiescence that they never remitted?
Yeah, like John said, you can always change it later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
you
could always sign the thing. Look at this fraud. It doesn't stop being a fraud, just, you know what I'm saying? So
Right. You
can always bring it back up later. I mean, it's not like, you know, the fact of the matter is they're using fraud and deceit to get us where they get us, and we acquiesce by being silent, basically. This is what happens. You know?
Well, so do they if they're going to demur.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it works both ways. But they don't, you know. Look at their big thing is to just ignore and steamroll. That's what they do, and they got the cops behind them. I mean, just because they don't have a right to, doesn't mean they won't come to your house and rip you out of it and throw you in a jail cell because you didn't respond to some paper they sent you. You know?
Oh, is that right? Well, I got a question then, because you brought that one forward. So, is it the role of the Postmaster General to say, if it's not your mail, don't open it? Well, if there's even a letter missing, is that your mail, or should you give yourself or grant yourself permission to open mail that is not your mail due to the improper language of the name? I mean, it's a style, and David Wynn Miller, the Postmaster General or something like that in Washington, D.C., he can read every letter, everything, forward and backwards, and tell you what the problem with the language is, or the style of the law, or the style of the writing. But I would hate to get mail from, like, the local sheriff's department with even a letter missing, because me opening that is fraudulent activity, and that could be punishable.
Yeah, and they play those games. And the thing is look, they should be serving you with something before they could ever arrest you. You should be personally served. And the sheriff's department has no problem doing that. I mean, that doesn't always happen. You know what I mean?
Or
at least registered mail where you have to sign for it. You know, some level of proof that you got the thing before they haul you off to jail. You know, I said what I said, but I didn't mean it literally, because they don't usually do that either. They send you lots and lots of stuff before they ever show up at your door. You know what I mean? And they don't show up at your door anyway. They wait until they pull you over on the road and pull you out of the car and then for some other traffic infraction, and then they get you on whatever else is pending in court. And that's how they do it. Just like what they want to do with these vaccinations. They're not gonna come directly at the people, because, you know, Brent says never attack evil directly, because what happens is you get their hackles up and you end up making a lot of trouble for yourself, because now they have to fight you because you've got them in a corner. You give them no quarter to escape. So unless you know that you can absolutely beat them, you don't want to come head-on at them. And they're very good at the art of war also. They know not to come head-on at the people, because they can create a revolution that they're not ready for. So they just keep taking chunks of us away a little bit at a time, like the woodcutter cuts a tree down with an axe, a chunk at a time. Basically, that's what they're doing to us, you know?
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's important for us to hit them with all this paperwork, just like we're putting stuff in the court every day. That's us taking chunks out of them, you know what I mean? And it's important to get to that point. John says the critical mass, where they're getting so much stuff that they can't deny it, and they'll acquiesce. But anyway, we got to move on here.
Continue, please. Okay. Take for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, it looks like we have Jim from PA. Go ahead, you're unmuted. Jim? Hello, Jim.
Can you hear me, Jim? I don't think my mouth enough, I guess. Going once.
Hey, Gerard?
Yeah.
Jim in Pittsburgh.
Oh, it says PA, but go ahead.
Okay. Pittsburgh, PA, yeah. An update on your audio. It was fading in and out, but it's coming in clear now.
Oh, well, I don't know what's going on. Next week, I'm going to have a new headset. We're going to see how that works.
Okay. Hey, listen, about this vaccination, I took my clients to get a vaccination, and the nurse did not know what was in. And I asked the nurse what was in that vaccine, and she didn't know.
Yeah, well, where's the form that's supposed to come in the package when she opens it up? She's supposed to be opening up a new bottle for you.
Well,
and it's supposed to have that paperwork in it. But they're instructed, like the other woman that was on here said, they're told not to give the patients these things. And you know who's telling them that? She has that paper that says, you know, attack them, do this, do that. Look, at doctors are told how to administer drugs by the salesman of the drug company. The salesmen of the drug companies are going in and they're schooling the doctors. That's where the doctors are getting their information. They're getting their information from the guy that's making a commission on how many drugs that he can talk that doctor into administering. So the salesman is not a medical professional by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he might know a lot about his product, which he probably knows more than the doctors know, to be honest with you. But, you know, technically, he doesn't have the authority because he needs that piece of paper, that license, to say that he's a healthcare guy. But that's who's schooling the doctors. It's the salesmen of the drugs. And they're telling them to hold this information back from the people. They don't want you to see all that stuff in there. I mean, you know, it always never ceases to amaze me when they're advertising drugs on the television, and they go in there, may cause blindness, dizziness, weird gait, this, that, blah, blah, dry mouth, and you drop dead. And people don't hear that. All they want to know is that their chief complaint is going to be relieved. They don't care if they lose fingers and toes and they drop dead, I think. Apparently they got us so mind-controlled, you know. So.
Yeah, we got to get them educated. Hey, Gerard, one last, I got a request for NOA. I would ask that NOA would always refer to acts, codes, statutes, and rules as just that, and not refer to them as law.
Yeah,
this
well,
is a professional practice.
That's true. And, you know, there's certain other things that we run into through the years, you know, where people go, my constitutional rights. It's not your constitutional rights. You know what I mean? The Constitution doesn't give you rights. The Constitution is that contract that tells the government what they can do. You don't get your rights from that. You know, it took me a lot of years to not say, you know, you're violating my constitutional rights. Well, they're my God-given rights, not constitutional rights. I have them regardless of that piece of paper, you know? So that's a little bit of mind control that they put into us to make us more of a slave, you know what I mean? That we're depending on some piece of paper, and then we're depending on somebody's interpretation of that paper, you know?
You know, going back to that codes and law, you know, when you go into Black's Law, for instance, and you look up into the different laws, there's like 51 or 52 different courts that can be open. And each one of those courts has their own statutes, regulations, rules, or whatever it may be called. And it is always referred to as law. The United States Supreme Court has referred to it, for instance, as equity. And so equity law. But it is true, they're statutes, they're codes, they're regulations, and so on. But nevertheless, they have power and the authority of law in an equity court. So that's key. So in a sense, it is law. Now, the United States Supreme Court has referred to it as having the name of law that is no law at all. I mean, I'm paraphrasing that. But that's only when it's being used outside of its jurisdiction, as if it is law, because there is only one law, okay, and that's natural law. There is no other law. All other law, if you want to call it that, really is the laws of men, statutes, codes, and so on. So we have equity, and equity is a law that is applied and has a consequence if you break those rules. But it must be applied within the proper jurisdiction. Each one of these codes, and there are 57 of them, apply to a particular part of the government. Maybe it applies to the president, or applies to Congress, or applies to the FBI, or the any other government agencies. So, in a sense, it is law, but we should kind of refer to them as codes and statutes. But it is equity.
Yeah, and they play games all the time, and those games help shield them. You know, I know, like in the automobile industry, you have VNT law, vehicle and traffic law, and when you go to an inspection station, they're not what they're operating under is the inspection regulations, which they write off of the law. Matter of fact, there was a time where they wouldn't give us the law. They would only give us the motor vehicle regulations. They don't want to give you the law that those regulations are written off of, because if you actually look at the law, you'll find a lot of times that their regulations are in violation. They've interpreted them wrong. You know, they've made up stuff as they went in and wrote regulations. And you have this with everything. You have it with employment law, you know what I mean, with unemployment and employment and all that. It's all their own administrative interpretations of things, you know, which and you can fight all that, you know, if you take it to the law. You know, most of the time if they bring you into the Board of Labor, that's an administrative court, and the fact that you show up, you know, and you have a you have a card from them that puts you under their jurisdiction. And so then they're able to do these things to you. But, you know, if you took them into a regular court, you'll find a lot of that stuff is not, like John said, it's really not law. It's basically law for government employees, but they always take it out and put it on the people. You know, they misapply the law. So just something to think about. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. I was wondering, it's Terry in New Jersey, if you got that email from Lydia, which says, in John's filings in district court, the court clerks are concealing pages from filed documents equals crime. She attached documents. This flies directly in the face of your writ of mandamus to the clerks.
Yeah, we did get that paper from Lydia, and she sent it a couple of times and a couple other things, but we're fully aware of all that, and the key thing is Rule 2, they're concealing common law courts, period. They're concealing equity courts, as a matter of fact. You can't even get into it. There's no way to get into an equity court, and there's no way to get into a law court. We're in jurisdictions unknown under the name of civil law. And Rule 2 did that to us. Rule 2 did what Congress couldn't even do. Rule 2 did what we the people can't even do, okay, which is to overrule the Constitution, which can't be done because it begins with the foundation, which is a covenant with God. And you can't break that covenant. You don't make a covenant with God and break it. He doesn't let you. There's a repercussion for that. There's a penalty for that. But nevertheless, we're very much aware of that. We are. Our paperwork does hold that position, does talk about concealment, and is very clear on it. And we're indicting people for that concealment, as a matter of fact. We've got judges under indictment for that very reason, and a clerk. We've got one clerk for that very reason. So we're aware of it.
Go ahead, George.
I was going to say they're pretty slick themselves because, like I said, you don't go at evil head on, and they don't come at us head on. They're going to change the whole Constitution with a rule. because they figure people don't look at rules and we don't understand what they're doing to us, and we don't. So they use the rules like to accomplish, like John says, what the Congress couldn't do, because everybody would be watching them. But they write some stupid rule and they run things, and we let them get away with it, right?
I know. I talked to John about this a few weeks ago, and he had said that they hadn't been removed. But in effect, what they're doing is they're just filing the first page and removing everything else.
Oh, really? I didn't understand. I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah, I sent you an email on.
So if you go on the docket, you don't see the whole paper that we wrote. In other words,
before I.
Yeah, so they probably think they're pretty smart that way.
So on the docket, you're saying that they're concealing it on the docket, too, that they're only showing the front page?
Well, I don't know about that. You're talking about Pacer or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I could tell you this. This judge has four times, since we filed our papers over 2 years ago, okay, four times he has told us to shut down. He has closed the court on us. And he wants us to, you know, he's going to shut things down. We immediately indicted him, and we indicted the clerk who was working with him. And now, threats still come. The last threat we had was back in September, and he said, come pick up all your papers, because if you don't, we're just going to throw them out. And then we indicted him again, okay? So he's got two indictments on him. And so that sits where it's at. And that's in September. We're still filing papers, and the clerks are filing them. And we told the clerk, look, let the judge do it. You know, why are you going to go become part of a conspiracy and concealment? Let him do it, because a judge is not going to take his little fingers and stick it into the files to pull papers out. He's never going to do that. He's going to tell the clerk to do that. And by the way, when a judge tells the clerk to do that, I think it's 2 years in jail is what calls for the clerk. But for him, it's 20 years. So he ain't going to do it. So that's why our papers are still there. The clerks are afraid to remove them and not file them, and the judge will not dare touch them. And if he does, that'll be just another indictment. But you see, it really doesn't matter, because we're hammering, we're nailing our papers to the United States Supreme Court door, okay? Every paper we're filing is going to the United States Supreme Court. And it also goes to both the judiciaries, committees of the House and the Senate, and it also goes to Attorney General Barr, and it also goes to the President of the United States, and it also goes to a few other places. We send a copy to We the People, and we also send a copy to, what's that guy's name that's doing all that work to pull I forget the name of that group. So, anyway.
Judicial Watch?
Right, Judicial Watch, yes. And we also are filing everything and refer to our papers that they're also filed up on our website. They can go up and get everything for free. They can download everything. So we got it everywhere.
Them putting only our front page up is kind of impotent, isn't it?
Well, it sure is if that's what they're doing.
Right.
But, you know, we also, the last about 3 weeks ago or so, we informed the clerk that even a phone call, when someone calls in referencing this case, and if you, Mr. or Mrs. Clerk, if you tell them it doesn't exist or whatever words you want to use to destroy access to those papers that person is calling up to find out about, for instance, a judge may be calling to see if this is a real case, so on and so forth, well, if you do that, that's concealment too. So we don't know how that's going, but if we do hear of a clerk or someone up there telling people that case is closed, that's an indictment ready to go forward.
Right.
Well, what they're doing is pretty ham-handed. I'm looking at a document here that was filed on September 24th, decision in order to obey the law of the land. And it's handwritten here, rejected by order of the court, dated October 4, 2019. At the first page, and then everything else, you know, like the second page is like grayed out. There's nothing beyond the first page. So, and they did that on a couple other documents too.
Well, if you go into the computer at the county,
I think that's the way they set those cases up, where they got the front page when you're looking for it, and then you have to go in and open the document up, and that might require a code from the clerk. I don't know. I know when I was over there searching court cases out that you could open the front page up, but you couldn't get the rest of it. You had to actually go in, and they probably want to charge you for copies of the pages, like, you know what I mean? Although, if you're in there, they should allow you to read them for free. That's one thing, you know what I mean? I mean, if you got to take a copy with you, they can charge you a nominal fee for copying them or whatever.
Okay, but on the second page, where the header says United States District Court for the Northern District of New York, it's just barely visible, and then everything else is grayed out. So I don't think that's the way they're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that when you go in there and you look for a case, you can, and you put the name of the case in, that it always shows you the first page, but there's other things you have to do to get to the rest of it. And I think they're looking to get a fee in order for you to get those other pages. Although, you should be able to open them for free. That's something we need to look into. Why are they setting them up like that? It sounds to me like when you went to have it printed or however you got that, I don't know how you got that paper, basically what you got is the way the computer opens it up. And then I know there's a way to get into the subsequent pages, but there's a code that you need to put in there that the clerk puts in there to open that case up. So maybe that's another way they're concealing. They're only giving you the top page, and they're giving you the grayed out stuff, but that's the way that machine is set up so that they can charge for copies. But you should be able to go into that office and actually read those pages, physically read them. And then if you want a copy, she's supposed to charge you whatever it takes for her to make the copy, 25 cents a piece, or have her put it on a disc. I think the discs are like $12 or whatever. You know, they can't charge too much. They call it a nominal fee, whatever it is. It's supposed to, like, cover her dime for pushing the button. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on there. It sounds like they're not giving you the rest of it. They're just leaving that initial page that you could use to make sure you're in the right place and you see the front page with the names and the headers. So then you take that up to the clerk and say, I want to see this case. I want you to open it. Or give me the code to open it. But right. you can okay. Print off of those computers whatever it shows, and it's going to do that. If you hit print and you didn't get the code from the clerk, you're going to get the front page, and everything else is going to be grayed out.
Well, I didn't realize that. I don't know if she realizes that, but she's pretty savvy. I'm sure she understands this process pretty well. So anyway, I yield. I had a question about the history of the grand jury, but I'll hold it for next week.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Terry. Always good hearing from you. Okay, I'm going to take the next caller. Well, we're actually 5 minutes over, but Terrence Brandon.
Yes, hello. My question is, do you consider yourself a U.S. citizen, or what exactly do you proclaim as your nationality? And my second question is, do you file or pay the federal income tax?
You sound like an IRS agent. Look, we're all U.S. citizens. Our forefathers referred to us as that. However, you know, the documents they filed when they were creating the corporation of the United States gave it a little bit of a different, you know, after the 14th Amendment, when you say you're a U.S. citizen, you're falling under that corporate United States, which I don't consider myself under that, you know what I mean? And as far as the income tax goes, well, if you call the IRS up and you ask them, you know, they'll tell you that income tax is voluntary. Well, what the heck does that mean? It's voluntary, yeah, because you volunteer into it. It's up to each person to determine if they have taxable income. So if you read the definition of taxable income, chances are you're not making taxable income, okay? So if you read the definitions and you decide that that's not me,
I'm not a federal employee. I'm not this. I don't live in the district. I don't live in Puerto Rico. And you don't file. Well, that's your determination of what you believe yourself to be. And what you're saying is, I don't have taxable income, which a lot of people don't. But if you're getting income off of stocks and bonds and making interest and that type of stuff, guess what? That's under the jurisdiction of the government, and they can tax you on that. So you better be very careful when you're making your determination of what your income is. Now, if you're going to work and you're working for a salary, of course, you're filing W-2s and W-4s and 1099s and all that. What you're doing is you're putting yourself in their system saying, I am a taxpayer. And if you're saying that you're a taxpayer and you're not, that in itself is fraud. They can put you in jail just for that, for saying a taxpayer, you're a taxpayer when you're not. So that's a very slippery slope. And look, I'm not going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to tell you what I do. But look, when you read something and you come to a conclusion, why would you send to somebody money when you determine that you're not that person? And you're not that type of income. But if you're out there filling out informations, that's where they're going to get you. If you got W-2s and W-4s and 1099s going in, you got a problem. You better file. You better do something, or you got to file a paper that says that's a false information report. Please fix it. That's my knowledge, which is just enough to be dangerous. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's the quick answer. And with that, I think we need to close because we're already 8 minutes over.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you here next week, same time, same bat station. Okay, thanks for your participation.
Make sure we shut down the recording before we close down.